coming up on the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show.
We're going to talk about how much food we waste as a society.
As well as growing sprouts now and year-round indoors.
And we have guests Sawyer and Aaron from Southeast Wisconsin Normal. We're going to talk about the legalization of cannabis in Wisconsin.
All that and your garden questions and our garden answers. Garden Radio is on the air, and it all starts right now.
You're tuned in to the only vegetable gardening radio show in Milwaukee with your host, Joey Baird, who grew up in the country but now lives closer to the city, and Holly Baird, who has always been a city girl. Combined, they have over 25 years of gardening experience who believe in simple gardening practices. A gardener for all gardeners, founders of the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, where they created over 800 how-to garden videos to teach others how to grow more of what they eat. Join them for the next hour as they discuss vegetable gardening and more.
It is the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show on 860 AM WNOV and W293CX 106.5. Wherever you may be listening, however you may be listening, whether on those particular stations, the TuneIn app, the Simple Radio app, the radio tab on the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com website, or anywhere in between. I am your host, Joy Baird. Beside me is my wife, co-host, best friend, gardening partner,
Holly Baird.
The WisconsinVegetableGardener.com is your destination for over 1,000 garden videos, short and long format, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, email, the whole deal. You can find all that and a whole lot more there. And this program is brought to you by the great sponsors you'll hear throughout the program over the next hour, and especially...
Nasala Kombucha is executive sponsor of the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show. Nasala is made in Wisconsin with local tea and natural herbs. Look for it in the refrigerator aisle at your local grocer. If you don't see it, ask for it, because if it's not Nasala Kombucha, it's not kombucha. Find out more at Nasala.com.
And there's a number of ways in which you can contact us during the show and after the show. You can certainly tweet us at any time using hashtag TWVG. Email us at TWVGradio@gmail.com or...
IvyOrganic.com hotline at 414-444-5250. Ivy Organic 3-in-1 Plant Guard Naturally protects plants against damaging sunburn, insects, and rodents. For use on your roses, fruit, and nut trees, shields pruned and damaged surfaces, ornamental trees, and shrubs. This product is non-toxic, environmentally safe, and organic. For more information, visit IvyOrganics.com. Again, that's 444-5250.
So with that being said, if you want to save money on seeds, get a pen or a pencil and a pad of paper. I'll give you that information momentarily. But first, let's talk about what's coming up this week. We've got two talks this week, both on basics of canning. Tuesday at 7 p.m., Holly and I will be at the Menominee Falls Public Library, as Holly will do her basics of canning talk. It's not really a demonstration. It's a talk presenting the information you need so you can can safely. As well as Thursday in West Alice at 7 p.m., we will conclude the three-part series there at the West Alice Public Library on basics of canning there. So you can join us at either one of those. And if you've got someplace you would like us to talk, we can certainly log that and lock that in for 2018. So I told you, get your pen and piece of paper ready if you want to save some money on seeds. M.I. Gardner, the official seed supplier here of the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show, and the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, having their year-end seed sale. Each year, by law, they have to sell or get rid of all the seeds that were packaged for the current calendar year. That's just how the law works. I don't know if it's red tape or whatever it is. But anyway, it benefits you. All their seeds are 99 cents a pack. They had started with 350 varieties this year. From what I have found out as of this past Thursday, M.I. Gardner still has over 100 varieties of flower, vegetables, and herb seeds that has to be sold by November 1st. I am almost certain that's the date.
Right.
So here's how you can get your package of seeds for 50% off. So instead of 99 cents, you're paying about 49 cents, something like that. So when you pick out all the seeds, even if you're not, you know, these seeds are still good. I want to make that clear. These seeds are still good. Just by law, he has to get rid of them. So if you buy them this week, put them in a cool, dry place, they're good to go next spring. Also, this would make great gifts if you're going to buy something for gardeners for Christmas. You can just keep these in a cool, dry place, 99 cents a pack. You get several, you know, a bunch of different quantities of seeds based on the type.
Essentially 50 cents a pack.
50 cents a pack, right. Yeah. So here's, at the time of checkout, select everything you want. At the time of checkout, you put in the coupon code BUY2GET2, B-U-Y, the number 2, G-E-T, the number two, and then that will calculate and knock off all the amount and make get you two packs of seeds for every two pack you buy.
So. And we can put that on our Facebook page too.
Yeah,
right?
it's on the Facebook page currently. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, get your seeds. Not everything's going to be available, but it will greatly help you get your seed collection started for next spring. So with that being said, let's talk about how much food we waste in America as a society. Now, I know we have listeners from all over the world on podcast replay and in-studio YouTube replay, but we're in America, land of the free, home of the brave. We're going to talk about America, and I don't want you to think Holly and I are perfect on this. We contribute to these numbers as well. We're just like you. We're just going to give information out so we all possibly – at the end of the segment, can be a little bit better stewards of our environment and the food that we buy and consume and eat and share.
Right. So just a fun fact here.
It's not really a fun fact. It's a sad fact.
It is a sad fact. In the U.S., 40% of all food never gets eaten, and that's everything from left on the farm all the way through to, some potatoes left on your dinner plate.
In 2012, this study was conducted, and then the guess of this was 34 million tons of food lost was uneaten food that was purposely grown or sold or bought for the purpose of consumption. 34 million tons of food in 2012 was thrown out. This is a huge problem for the society. As many of you know, and maybe you are familiar with somebody in this situation, one out of every six people are uncertain of where their next meal will come from.
Right.
This is not just a Milwaukee problem. This is a United States problem. And you would think, and some of you are thinking the same thing I am, we are in America. We should not have that problem. This is not a third world country. We should have the abundance of food for our kids, for our family. We shouldn't. One out of six people shouldn't go, well, I don't know where I'm going to eat next. The uncertainty of food.
That's absolutely correct, especially considering we're wasting 40% of the food as Americans, and then we have Americans who are not, being fed.
And the farmers have very little in control of this. They have the harvest. They put it on a truck. If that truck gets delayed or whatever the case is, and it goes past a certain time frame or the temperature in the truck gets too high, the buyers, some of these buyers and these truck companies, they have sensors in the trucks that let the buyers know, hey, this is how long the truck's been on the road, the temperature's been out of whack for this many hours, and the buyer will actually call the truck company and say, don't even worry about bringing that produce to my facility. I don't want it. Get rid of it. I'm not buying it.
Right. So
And realistically, And you can see a lot of different articles online, different media publications doing this. If America as a whole stopped throwing away food and consumed everything in which we bought, the economy would collapse because the economy is set on the repetitive.
It's set on the waste.
On the waste. It's set on the waste. So much of this is going to get thrown away, so we have to overproduce so much so we can cover our costs and everybody gets a little chunk of the meat on the bone type
and
of thing.
And it's not our fault. We are conditioned this way.
Well, it's not our fault,
no,
but we can change a little
change.
Bit. Yeah.
Yeah, and people do want to change, but it's not our fault. If you think about it, you go to the grocery store, you're buying some apples, and you see a bad apple, what do? I'm not buying that.
Or the grocery stores, the convenient grocery stores that many of us frequent on a weekly basis, they go on the premise of, if it's not pretty, we don't sell it.
Right.
And that's why when you go to the farmer's market, you'll see a cantaloupe or a cabbage or a tomato that has blemishes on it because there's nothing wrong with them. It's perfectly fine to consume. And the farmer's there to say, hey, there's nothing wrong with this. This is the style of produce, or this one's picked a little late. That's why it's 50% off. At the grocery store, if it's not pretty, they don't put it on the shelf because they want that stuff to sit there as long as possible, still look pretty, and still get the money for it.
Yes. And think about it in your own life. You might have something left over from your lunch at work. You don't want to take it home. What are you going to do with it? You're going to toss it because you know that you could have something more or something else later on.
I think bananas are a good example of this.
Oh, yeah.
We buy bananas. Everybody buys bananas, and I don't know why they're so frequently. There are just so many of them around here. But we always consume – we buy the bananas that are a little green because we know they'll sit on the cabinet for a couple of days and they'll ripen to yellow. And some people, as soon as they're starting to get black spots or brown spots, they throw them away. And realistically, an unripened banana is a yellow banana. The darker the banana is skin-wise, the more nutrient value the internal portions have. Now, if it turns to rot, I mean, let's not get crazy here. But the more dark spots or the darker the skin gets, the better off it is for you for the consumption. But we throw it away, we compost it, we do whatever, and we're trained in that, it's starting to look bad, we got to get rid of it. Or if there's a little blemish on an apple or an avocado or a pumpkin or whatever, they chop it and they throw it away. You can still cut that bad portion out and still consume it.
So we definitely need to think about that. Think about where we're buying our food. If you buy it at the grocery store, everything's going to look beautiful and tasty. Or if you're going to go to the farmer's market, you may have something a little bit somewhat, I don't want to say questionable, but something that you may need to consume within the next day.
It was in 2016, more than 70% of the people in the Johns Hopkins study and more than 85% of people in the Ohio State study said they toss out fewer foods than others do. Now, that was the consensus. Oh, I throw out less than everybody else, but that's just a guess because you want to make yourself feel better. But,
so let's talk about...
But 34 million tons is a very, very tremendous number, and a majority of that tonnage is still edible, consumable, usable food. It's not just rotten mold carrots or strawberries in a container in the fridge.
Right. So let's talk about, I guess, kind of the why this happens.
Okay.
One is not only are we conditioned to go to the grocery store and see the most beautiful things to purchase there, but second is we don't know a lot about food safety. We are conditioned to think, okay, this might be questionable. Like a lot of people, they buy a gallon of milk. The date says September 8th. They're going to toss that milk. But that's not necessarily, that milk doesn't go instantly bad
at 3 o'clock on
September 8th. So I think a lot of people are confused about food safety and also when things really do go bad.
Right. And that's, we're not saying to go drink milk that's in your fridge from April the 14th. We want to be smart about this, and we have to be, as individuals, smart enough in order to do our own research and not just rely on the media, whatever dimension that you feel that they are correct or incorrect. We have to take responsibility for ourselves and be smart with what decisions we make health-wise and food purchase-wise for us and our family. We've drank milk that's been a couple of days past that sale date.
Well, that's the thing, is that milk has been pasteurized.
Explain that real quick, what pasteurization
basically
means.
Basically, they heat it to a certain temperature so that it's safe from any contaminants.
And that's why some of these these dairy farmers like the raw milk, because it's straight out of the cow. There's no pasteurization. It's as pure can be.
Right.
But we'll get into that at a different time.
Right. So anyway, so the milk has been pasteurized, and they put a date of about 21 days.
Except for in Montana. Montana is like 12 days.
Okay, well,
different.
Whatever.
Yeah, okay, I'm just telling the story.
So anyway, but since the milk has been pasteurized, the likeliness of you getting sick from it spoiling is very low. It's not going to taste good.
No.
But you're not going to necessarily get sick from it. And a lot of people think, okay, if I chance this spoiling, first of all, if you think your milk might be questionable, what, are you just taking big gulps of it? I mean, you're definitely going to sniff it and see what's going on. But you got to consider that it's not necessarily gone bad. A lot of these are kind of the sell-by or best before or, purchase by, whatever date, is just a guideline.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of have to determine after that.
So and you can freeze milk, too, and it preserves that. So, you know, that's one thing.
What's the trick if you freeze milk, Joey?
Well, it's designed to where you don't...
No, after when you want to drink it.
Well, tell me the secret, because I don't know where we're going.
You freaked out. So milk kind of... tastes funny after you freeze it, so what you gotta do is you gotta shake it.
Oh, because it separates.
Yeah, it doesn't really separate. I think it just lacks some oxygen.
But also, if you freeze it, you can get more longevity out of it.
Definitely.
As well. Now, one of the goals of America is by 2030 to cut the food waste in half, which 34 million tons of food cut in half. It's still a lot of food that is being wasted, but it's a direction in which society needs to go. But again, if we'd stopped wasting food tomorrow, the collapse of the economy would be inevitable because everything's designed on this.
That doesn't mean you should necessarily consider wasting more food or continue to
help the economy. We don't want to do that.
But
there are
just be aware.
There are companies, and there's that package, this was a story a couple years ago, that package salad mixes. And because the mixes, they have a sell-by date, there's nothing wrong with them. But even if they're sitting in the warehouse too long and the sell-by date gets too close to where they will just take it and dump it in the landfill and write that off as a loss, because they can make more money by writing it off as a loss than putting on a truck, shipping it to a grocery store somewhere else, trying to sell it by that 48-hour period that what the label says on it, it has to be sold by that date, than it is to, you know, it's easier to take the loss and dump it in the landfill.
Right.
And that's perfectly good food, and that's not just a one, that's a lot of companies that do that. So maybe that this has helped you a little bit on understanding how much we've wasted, how much we waste and how much we waste on a year basis, to bring you to a realization that it's not just a your problem, it's not just an our problem, it's an all of us problem that we need to be a little more aware of, not putting more on the plate than what we can eat, not buying more than what we think we can use in an allotted amount of time, and it's just better for everybody. When we come back, we're going to talk about something that we all can do and do very easily year-round, and that is growing sprouts. We'll explain what it is, how to do it, and some of the benefits that come along with it right after this.
Have a gardening question? Email Joey and Holly at twvgradio@gmail.com.
Mycorrhizae is a beneficial fungus from plantsuccess.com that will greatly increase your plant's germination ability and a healthier root structure. You can increase seed sprouting, root growth, and general plant germination. Mycorrhizae can be used with hydroponics, root cutting, seed sprouting, coca core, and soil. PlantSuccess.com carries powder, granule, and tablet forms of mycorrhizae. Increase the level of mycorrhizae in your soil for your plants to give them optimal opportunity to produce an incredible harvest. For more information and to purchase, visit PlantSuccess.com.
The River West Co-op Grocery and Cafe is proud to support the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener and a lot of other Wisconsin growers as well. The co-op offers a wide range of local and organic produce in their store and on their cafe menu, from apples to yogurt and everything in between. Open 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekends, at the corner of Clark and Frackney in Milwaukee's River West neighborhood. See what is in store and check out the Co-op Cafe. Delicious vegetarian menu at riverwestcoop.org. Garden seeds do not have to cost a fortune. Just 99 cents at migardener.com. With over 300 varieties of non-GMO, heirloom, and organic flower, vegetable, and herb seeds available year-round, pay less and get more seeds. Shipping as low as $2.50. That just makes sense. Go to migardener.com for seeds and gardening needs, tools, and special blend fertilizer. Migardener.com. It's that simple. Family owned and operated.
I want a garden center that listens to and understands my needs.
I want to buy my gardening products from a local business with strong ties to the community.
All I want is a garden center that truly values their customers.
It seems like everyone is selling plants these days, but I'm having a hard time finding quality.
I take pride in my garden, so I want my garden center to take pride in their products.
Where will you be going for all of your gardening needs this season? Blue Mel's Garden Center. We are your answer.
Blue Mel's, 4930 West Loomis Road, 414-282-4220.
Now back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Garden Radio Show with your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird.
Yes, it is the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show on 860 AM WNOV and W293CX 106.5. So happy you've taken a little time out of your busy Saturday to join us on the program. The WisconsinVegetableGardener.com is your destination year-round for all types of gardening, 1,000-plus videos, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, email, and a whole lot of exploration for your education and informational purposes. Well, another thing that can help us waste less food is when we purchase good produce that's going to keep a while but also is beneficial for us, and TreeRipe.com, tree-ripe.com can provide that for us.
If you like fresh produce delivered right to your neighborhood, you should check out Tree Rice Citrus Company. You can find out where to pick up top quality produce from tree-ripe.com. They have beautiful tasty peaches, sweet juicy blueberries. Hopefully they'll have citrus this winter. If you're sick of bland disgusting produce from your local grocer, Tree Ripe has what you need. They come right to a stop in your neighborhood, fresh off the truck, right from the source. For location and schedules, visit tree-ripe.com. They have locations all over, including Iowa, Upper and Lower Michigan, Minnesota, Illinois, and right here in Wisconsin. Tree-ripe.com is your go-to for the freshest produce around.
There you go. So let's talk about something that we can all practice in our home all year round, and that's growing sprouts. First of all, for people who have no idea what growing sprouts mean, what is the definition of growing sprouts, or what is the practice of growing sprouts?
Sure. So sprouts are essentially, you may have had them on a sandwich at a sandwich shop, seen them in the store, like alfalfa sprouts or bean sprouts, or bean sprouts are often used in Asian cooking. So basically, they are a sprouted seed, and you're eating that growth that comes from the seed.
It's a very small plant. It's within a couple of days of germination, of growing. So what are some of the benefits that one would choose to grow sprouts in their home year-round?
Well, one is that it gives you something green,
I nutrients.
Guess. Nutrients. Yeah. Well, it's something fresh to eat when you're in the dead of winter and you really want something fresh and tasty. That's definitely something that you can.
And this can have. You can grow these very, very quickly. We're talking 3-4 days. It's not like you got to sit there and wait 90 days for a tomato to ripen.
No, people who really do a lot of this will have a continuous process, so they always have fresh sprouts.
Yeah, on a 7-day rotation.
Right. So, but the thing is that they are very beneficial to your digestion.
Okay.
Because they have a lot of really good fibers in them, and they're very nutrient dense. You are eating essentially what is growing from that seed, whatever is in that nutrient.
So baby plants.
Yeah, like a baby plant. So they're very nutrient dense.
Now, let's make something clear here. You can't do this with all seeds. There's certain variety of seeds, and you can buy seed or sprout kits online. And you can buy bulk seeds. But first of all, okay, let's talk about some of the seeds in which we can do this with.
Well, first of all, let's say that you want to buy seeds that are from a good source. You don't want to buy and sprout seeds from Johnny down the street who's selling his random seeds. You don't know where they're from or what happened to them. So you want to buy clean seed to sprout.
Okay.
And the reason being is that things like salmonella or E. coli could exist in seeds if they're not packaged properly, safely.
Or clean properly.
Right,
before.
Or clean properly. Another thing is that, and we'll get into this when we talk of the process, you want to make sure whatever you're using to sprout in is also clean as well.
Goes without saying, right. But it needs to be reminded, yes.
So anyway, what was your original question?
What can we use? What seeds can we use in due to this?
Because so
you can't use any old seeds here.
No. And so you can... You can use a lot of different seeds. We've used radish seeds.
Right.
Broccoli seeds. Let's see, what else have we used?
We tried with squash seeds.
Yeah, we tried squash
and that
seeds.
That didn't work.
They were just crazy bitter. So you want to, do...
Kale, broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, those types of seeds, those sprouts are very good and nutrient-rich. You don't want to use tomato seeds, sprouts, because tomatoes are actually a toxin. The leaves are toxins, so you can't eat those. There's a number of other seeds in which you can use for sprouting, and the sprouting is a very simple process. Again, you have to read.
Mung beans is a
very popular one.
Very popular one, yes.
I believe peas are as well.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the process and the equipment in which we need, because you can just go down a list of an unlimited number of seeds in which you can sprout.
Right, and you can definitely search Google for that, what you're trying to go for and what you want to sprout. But you need something to sprout the seeds in. Some people will buy these fancy sprouting tray kits, or I'm not really 100% sure what those are, but you don't need that, so you can keep it pretty simple.
We're going to keep it cheap and simple and effective here.
Right, exactly. So you need a mason jar, and you want about a quart size. And then you need a piece of screening or an old pair of pantyhose.
Would a coffee filter work?
No, because you get it wet a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. So you need something that is going to kind of be essentially a screen or something that you can get pour water through.
But the seeds won't
be able to go through.
Mm-hmm.
So that we use a screen that we've cleaned off.
You can also go to your craft store and they have these square little grids of plastic,
right.
and you can buy one sheet for like $0.49, and you cut circles out, make your own, but based on the size of your seeds.
But whatever you use, whether it's from the craft store, a screen, or an old pair of pantyhose, you want to make sure that's clean as well.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. Goes without saying.
Well, you never know. Some people might just hack at their old window.
My wife's not around. I'm making sprouts with the pantyhose. Yeah. Okay. Continue here.
So, and your mason jar, obviously, you know, make sure that's nice.
Now,
and
the mason jar doesn't have to be a certified mason jar. It can be an old glass.
No, if you got like an old spaghetti sauce jar, you want it to be around quart size.
Right. So it doesn't have to be a certified mason jar. All right. Can it be a plastic or does it need to be glass?
It needs to be glass.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So what you do is you got your jar. You're going to put your seeds in that jar.
Based on how much you want, follow the recommended rate
Most people do like, I think it's a tablespoon.
Okay.
And then you're going to put water in there. And then you put your lid on or your screen or whatever. Mm-hmm. Make sure it's secured with a rubber band or a canning ring, whatever you have. And then once you have the water in there, you're just going to kind of shake the seeds around. You can do this 3 or 4 times. Shake and
a
rinse.
Day.
Shake and rinse.
At the initial beginning.
Right.
Okay, gotcha.
And then so twice a day you want to keep doing this. You don't have to do it 3 or 4 times, but twice a day in the morning, in the evening, you want to rinse the seeds off, essentially. Put water in there, rinse the seeds off, and then eventually you're going to start to see them sprout.
Within 48 hours, you're going to see these seeds bust open from their seed coating.
Right. And the reason why you're doing this twice a day is to keep them moist so that they will sprout.
You're basically hydrating the seeds but removing moisture and grow medium and allowing them to sprout in the air is basically what we're doing. And that allows you to eat the roots. Because of the tenderness of them, you can eat the roots, the whole plant, the everything.
Yeah.
Now, you can do like sprouts in seed trays, but this is a far easier and cheaper method because you don't have to have a medium in which to grow in. You just need a jar, screen, and seeds and water, and you got this figured out. And regular tap water, you don't have to worry about the chlorine. It's not going to affect the seeds with this quick turnaround.
Right. So that's exactly the process. And then you can kind of determine how big you want them to be. I think after about 3 days, though, that's kind of your max. They'll be about 3 to 4 inches long.
Any more than that, you could be getting more to a bitter state because they're going into a production of I'm going into a plant rather than I'm just a baby plant now type of thing.
Yeah, and so but you want when you do this, you want to keep that jar or whatever away from direct sunlight.
So not in a windowsill.
No,
back of a cabinet or back of the
counter.
Counter, right.
Yeah. And just average room temperature, so not your hottest room in your house, not your coldest room in your house, just the average.
Now, if you want to do this and you want to play around with it and do several jars at a time, don't do all the jars at one time. Do one, write on it with a piece of tape, you know, this is radish sprouts, put the date, and then the next day try something else. And sometimes you'll get this, you know, you'll find this combination of this is really good, I'm going to keep doing this. And sometimes you may have to play around with it and figure out, well, I need to let this set for 3 days, this for four, that type of thing. But you always want to remember and put on your little calendar on your phone, remember to rinse out the seeds. Otherwise, you're going to have a jar of dry, dead seeds, and you're not going to get anywhere with them.
Right.
So growing sprouts is an easy way to get some nutrients, some fresh greens, even if you live in an apartment, a retirement home, anything like that. You can certainly do it that way.
Definitely.
It's a great way, and it's a conversation starter. What are you doing? Well, I'm growing, you know, that type of thing.
Growing some
and
sprouts.
The kids really like this, too, because they see how quickly from seed to, okay, we can eat this in like 3 days, 3 to 4 days, and sometimes if you maybe 5 on some of the seeds. So maybe you will try growing sprouts. We've done that. We're going to continue to do that with some more this winter. We just have too much going on in the summer to grow sprouts. So with that being said, let's talk about getting our lawn figured out for next year. Already getting cooled down here. The grass is not growing because we don't have a whole lot of rain here. But maybe you just need a new piece of equipment, and Aaron's can help you with that.
Do you hear that? That's your neighbor shaking in the grass-stained shoes because Aaron's is about to help you step up your grass-cutting game. Your name is on the mailbox, so the Aaron's name should be on your mower. Heavy-duty steel construction, smarter, smoother controls, professional cutting performance. The only thing we love more than the smell of freshly cut grass is the sweet taste of victory. Aaron's, it comes down to this. For more information, to find your local dealer for lawn and snow removal equipment, go to Aaron's.com.
When we come back, Eric and Sawyer from Southeast Wisconsin Normals will be with us talking about cannabis, the benefits, and where we're at legislation-wise here in the state of Wisconsin, right after this.
Tweet Joey and Holly using hashtag TWVG.
You say? You say Nasala Kombucha. It'll put some glide in your stride and some pep in your step. Nasala Kombucha. Yeah.
Nasala Kombucha makes your body happy. Nasala Kombucha makes your body smile.
Do you have a problem with deer or small herbivores eating your vegetation? There is a natural solution that is safe for your pets and family. Bobex is the answer, an environmentally friendly solution to protect your plants, will not wash off, and is guaranteed. Bobex Deer was independently tested against 9 known competitors and rated 93% effective, second only to a physical barrier. Bobex can be used on all types of ornamentals, trees, and shrubs. Ask for it by name at your local independent garden center. Find out more, visit Bobex.com. BOBEX.COM.
Eating natural and organic is not as expensive as it used to be, especially when you shop at Woodman. They have aisles full of certified organic food, from fruits and vegetables to dairy products and even meat, all at great prices. They even have a huge selection of wheat-free and gluten-free items. I can come to Woodman's and get everything I need all under one roof. My name is Alicia, and I shop at Woodman.
Hotshed Mill, 125 years of experience producing stone ground organic flour and cornmeal made from premium quality whole grains. Family owned company, continual standards that are non-GMO, organic at the highest safety levels, offering a wide variety of flours, pasta, baking mixes, flaxseed, and more, even kosher and gluten-free options. Found at most local grocers like Woodman's. For more information and recipes, visit hotshedmill.com. That's HODGSONMILL.com.
Now back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Garden Radio Show with your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird.
It is the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show on 860 AM, WNOV and W293CX 106.5. The Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener.com is your destination for over 1,000 garden videos, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, as well as the official garden center of the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show, Blue Mel's Landscape and Garden Center, which next Saturday will have their 7th annual fall customer appreciation brats food. They'll have all their pumpkins, gourds, mums, kale, all that stuff there, and we will be there about 10:30 next week. And what and where can we find Blue Mel's?
Sure, you can find Blue Mel's at 4930 West Loomis Road in Greenfield, just south of Layton. You can go to bluemel's.com or call 414-282-4220, and they are the great location, great people, and great knowledgeable staff.
Absolutely. Well, Holly, let's go to the Ivy Organics hotline and bring in our next guest.
Southeastern Wisconsin Normal's mission is to educate the Wisconsin public on cannabis and the harms of cannabis prohibition and advocate for the legalization of production and use of cannabis for medicinal, adult recreational, industrial purposes. We have two representatives from Southeastern Wisconsin Normal on the line. Welcome to the program, Sawyer and Eric.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Well, thank you for taking time out of your day to join us and educate Holly, myself, and all of our listeners on your mission here. Well, Eric, I want to start with you. As we set today, how many states have legalized recreational cannabis and how many states have medical cannabis, and where are we at here in the state of Wisconsin?
So as of right now, there are 8 states that have recreational cannabis legalized. 29 states have medical cannabis laws passed in some form or another, and there's a lot of variance there regarding, like, which conditions are allowed to be treated with it, who's allowed to grow it, how much a person can possess. There's a wide variance in how open some of these laws are. And Wisconsin currently has bills in the legislature to do both of these things, to legalize it medically and recreationally. But the Republicans are currently refusing to hold any votes on them. So in some ways it seems like we're a ways off because we don't even have medical yet. But if we can really elect a lot of pro-cannabis legislators in 2018, we could have both of those things in hopefully just a couple of years.
is it, Eric, is it, the main reason is the Republicans in office, but is there more of a non-understandable scare that, oh, this is just a drug for hippies? Is that kind of why it's stalled here? And if we can get medical, is the chances of recreational an easier slope to slide down to get it legalized?
Yeah, I mean, all eight of the states that have legalized it recreationally started with medical first, and so that's definitely the path that everyone's followed so far, and I think that would make our path easier. Whether it's, you know, there's the scare around it being, you know, some terrible drug and just associated with hippies, I think that is the case with some of the legislators, and that's certainly the case with some people. But a Marquette poll from last summer showed 59% of Wisconsinites want cannabis to be regulated like alcohol. They want it to be legalized in the same way that Colorado and California have done it. So I think among the general population, there's not that fear anymore. It's just a matter of waiting for the legislators to catch up with where the people have gotten to.
Definitely. So, Sawyer, what are some commonly known health benefits of cannabis?
So there's a couple of dimensions to this. There are health benefits to the recreational use of cannabis that many people enjoy. You know, many people may not be using cannabis. I would say most people aren't for, you know, medicine. So it relieves tension and stress while allowing that safe euphoria that is never going to put you in the hospital. And I think the non-lethal aspect about cannabis is one of the healthiest aspects about it, is that it doesn't have a toxicity level within the bloodstream and you're never going to die from it. So there's those benefits, and then there's also a huge medicinal side when it comes to treatment of, you know, various medical conditions. Cannabis contains compounds that are natural anti-inflammatories, sleep aids, appetite stimulants, anti-proliferative compounds, so which actually means that the cannabinoids target tumors and other autoimmune diseases like cancer and Crohn's, and actually have been shown to reduce the size of tumors. And so THC and CBD being the two most prominent compounds are, you know, being heavily researched for their properties and all of those things. I mean, you can just do a quick Google search and there's just a list as long as your arm of the benefits to cannabis use and the treatments that it offers.
Well, Eric, let's talk about if people are listening and are like, well, I still don't want cannabis to be legalized. There's still a major industrial benefit to having marijuana, hemp, cannabis, whatever term you want to use, to be grown. What are some of those industrial uses that cannabis can be used to benefit us, even if we don't smoke it and are against the use of human consumption of it?
Yeah, cannabis is a very, very versatile plant. The fibers are very good for making textiles for clothing or rope. In fact, if you look up in Merriam-Webster's dictionary, the word canvas, as in like canvas sails or like a painting canvas, that word derives from the word cannabis because all the early canvas sails for ships were all made from hemp. And you can look it up in the dictionary and verify that. And also, you can turn the hemp plant into oil, just like we do. You know, we make so much stuff from ethanol and corn oil. Well, you can make a lot of stuff from hemp oil too, and you can make like biodegradable plastics from hemp. There's just anything you can do with oil or very fibrous plants, you can do with cannabis, and it's just a very eco-friendly plant to grow. You don't need many pesticides and herbicides and toxic chemicals to keep to grow a hardy plant, and so it's a more eco-friendly way to get a lot of these different industrial products that we're currently using corn and fossil fuels for.
Right, and what it takes in 15 years for an acre of trees to grow, it takes just months for an acre of cannabis to grow. And if I am correct by the research that I found, over 25,000 different items can be used to manufacture with using the cannabis plant.
Yeah, true. Yeah, it's very versatile and a very hardy, quick-growing plant.
So, Sawyer, what are some of the biggest misconceptions about the uses of cannabis?
So there are a lot of misconceptions, but I think the biggest one is the potency of it. We're very familiar with alcohol in this state, and so we just, you know, we go into the liquor store and you see something that's a certain proof and you know how much alcohol is in there. With cannabis, each specific strain and each treatment and application method is so varying depending upon the individual and the, you know, makeup of that person's body, their metabolism, and also the strain itself. There's over 400 known compounds within cannabis. And so the important thing to note is that it's all about dosage and then matching the specific strain to the specific individual. You know, it's not just more or less effect. It's differing effects. Some people may like a sativa, so an energetic high that is good for morning use, some creativity. Other people prefer an indica strain where they want to be put to sleep, or they want to stimulate some appetite and just kind of veg out and watch TV. So that's a huge one. And that certainly goes along with the versatility of the plant. It varies a lot.
Now, with the states that have the recreational marijuana legalized, is there parameters in which the plant has to be, or the product has to fall within, that this is the dosage or the power of this the plant that's being bought?
There are extremely strict guidelines in most states with medicinal programs. Anything that goes from a grow to a dispensary is going through a rigorous testing process. At least it should be. Some states have gotten in trouble with this, especially with the boom of the recreational market, of kind of having to force things. But there is a protocol for that when it comes to pesticide testing, the testing for magnesium levels within the bud itself, making sure that there were no the pesticides, and then also making sure that there's no butane or solvents in any of the products that you're getting that are concentrates. There's a huge amount of testing and a bunch of money being poured into it. I think in the next 5 years, we're just going to see the level of cannabis just grow exponentially because of the technology that's being, put into mainstream use right now. And there's a lot of companies doing a lot of really good work. You can even buy products over the internet. You know, they're quite expensive, but you still can buy them and test your own cannabis at home for yourself just to see the breakdown of what exactly you're getting into.
Quite interesting. Now, for people who want cannabis, for people who want cannabis legalized, whatever reason being, what can they do on a personal level or more state, local level to assist?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So the most basic thing that everyone should do is contact their legislators. Either give them a call, email them, write them a letter. That's the most basic thing that everyone should do for every issue that they care about. It only takes a few minutes. And, I mean, that's the most important thing to do. Otherwise, you can get involved with a local group like ours, Southeastern Wisconsin Normal. If you go to our website, SEWINORML, there's no A in Normal. We're the Southeastern Wisconsin chapter for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, and we're always looking for volunteers to help run, like, informational tables at different events, doing petitioning, and we're going to be doing a lot of campaigning for pro-cannabis politicians because we can't do ballot initiatives in this state the way Colorado and all 8 states that have legalized it recreationally have all done ballot initiatives where the people were able to directly vote on it. But we can't do that here in Wisconsin, so we need to elect pro-cannabis politicians if we ever want to get this done. So working on campaigns to elect those politicians is ultimately one of the most powerful things you can do if you're looking to get involved.
And you know, whether you're listening and you're for it or you're against it, get involved in the politics. And so we can all work together. And a lot of times, you know, maybe some generations of people hear the word cannabis, Eric, and go, oh, it's a bad drug. There are a lot of openly available researches that's done by independent studies that show that proper usage and consumptions of it can actually benefit some very killing diseases that we are dying from on a daily basis.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, especially when it comes to, like, children with different seizure disorders, there are lots of people. I know a lot of people who use it is a replacement for opiates. I know people who said that cannabis has saved their life because otherwise they were going down a bad path of addiction on like Percocets, Vicodin, and they said that it probably would have ended up with them dead, and instead they were able to start smoking or using cannabis in some form. And it's just a safer way to get the relief that you need in that case. And for a lot of these things, like with seizure disorders, sometimes it's the only thing that actually provides relief to people.
Now, Sawyer, I want to ask, is cannabis oil legal in the state of Wisconsin, and why is it so beneficial? And it doesn't have, Holly, what is the term used? It doesn't have
the THC
that people get high off of. Where are we at on the cannabis oil and how legal it is here in the state?
So in April, Governor Walker signed a bill that would allow people access with a doctor's note, and the access is for CBD oil, CBD products, products that contain CBD cannabidiol, which is the second most prominent and the non-psychoactive component, but it's incredibly beneficial for people with epilepsy. Children who have hundreds of seizures a day go to having almost no seizures just from usage of that. So CBD-derived products are legal for possession if you have a doctor's note. So you have to have a doctor's note, but the loophole is not even really a loophole. It's just kind of a conundrum within the law, is that there's nowhere you can safely and reliably access good CBD medication. There's an influx of companies that will just slap CBD on a product, even if it, you know, contains very, very low levels, just to make a quick buck. The FDA actually did a study in 2014, I believe, of 150 different CBD-related products, and they found an 80% fail rate for the potency levels that were quoted on the packaging itself. So it's all up to people doing their own research. People who qualify for CBD access in the state of Wisconsin often have to drive to another state, or they take to the internet and, you know, access it by some other means. You can ship CBD over state lines, and this is another weird loophole. So federally, anything that's derived from the cannabis plant is illegal. But companies that produce products with CBD inside can ship as long as there's a threshold of less than 0.3% THC. And so they can ship without prosecution, but they're still breaking federal law. And so you can get it in this state, but the possession of it is, you're protected if you have that doctor's note. You know, if you have a pre-existing condition and your doctor is, you know, willing to sign it, you know, you can access it that way. But anything high enough level of THC is still going to land you in jail. So unfortunately, like hash oil, dabbed or concentrates of that matter are still very much illegal.
Well, Eric Sawyer, we greatly appreciate you taking time out of your day to inform us and show us some of the information, share with some of the information that you have on this. Eric, again, for people who want to find out more about you and learn about the benefits and all of that goes along with it, where can people go and get a hold of more information?
People want more information, they can go to our website at sewinorml.org, or they can look us up on Facebook by searching for Southeastern Wisconsin NORML. And those are probably the two best ways to get plugged in with us.
Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for the information. You've shown us some information here that we were not aware of, and thank you for sharing that with us and our listeners.
Thank you for coming on the program.
Thank you, Holly. Thank you, Joey.
And we'll be right back after this with your garden questions and our garden answers.
Have a gardening question? You can call into the ivorganic.com hotline at 414-444-5250 right now.
The number one key to healthy, productive plants are the roots. Starting from seed to full-grown plants, RootMaker.com has the answer. From seed starting trays with an innovative design that air prunes the roots, creating a fabulous root system, never again will you have root-bound plants, to multiple gallon grow bag sizes to raised beds. Rootmaker.com has your grow needs covered. Visit Rootmaker.com.
Do you have a little space to grow? Check out Greenstock Vertical Gardens at GreenstockGarden.com. Greenstock is engineered to grow with its innovative space and water-saving design. You can grow vegetables, flowers, herbs, and even strawberries in just 2 square feet of space. Grow up instead of out. Perfect for the porch, patio, or deck. Grow up to 30 plants in a small space. GreenstockGarden.com has everything you need to grow in the littlest of spaces. Proudly made in the USA. For more information and to purchase, visit GreenstockGarden.com. Beans and Barley Marketing Cafe, a neighborhood specialty grocery store for the east side of the greater Milwaukee area, where you can find all you need, from fresh produce to bakery to organic frozen dinners, from wine to fresh squeezed carrot juice. A health food store with hundreds of products, vitamins, supplements, bath and body items, magazines, cards, books, and a knowledgeable staff. Catering available, open daily at 8 a.m. The restaurant serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week with a menu of good, healthy, homemade food, including vegetarian and non-vegetarian specialties. 1901 East North Avenue, Milwaukee, 414-278-7878, and online at beansandbarley.com.
Hi, I'm John Lewandowski, retail manager of Blue Mel's Garden and Landscape Center. Now, I'm not going to tell you about our awesome dome-grown plants, our beautiful pottery, or our 40 varieties of landscape materials. What I am going to tell you is that Blue Mills is a local, independent, family-owned garden center that truly cares about your garden or landscape project. So if you're looking for that one garden center that actually cares about you, come to Blue Mills Garden and Landscape Center. We've been treating our customers like family since 1955.
Blue Mills, 4930 West Loomis Road, 414-282-4220.
Now back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Garden Radio Show with your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird.
It is the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show on 860 AM WNOV and W293CX 106.5. So happy you've joined us on this Saturday morning to talk gardening. The WisconsinVegetableGardener.com is your destination for over 1,000 garden video, short and long format, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, email, all of that and a whole lot more. And if you've got a question, you can certainly get a hold of us right now on the IVOrganics.com 3-in-1 Plant Guard Hotline.
Ivy Organic 3-in-1 Plant Guard naturally protects plants against damaging sunburn, insects, and rodents, protects newly installed plants and trees, shields pruned and damaged surfaces for use on your roses, fruit, and nut trees, ornamental trees, and shrubs. This product is non-toxic, environmentally safe, and organic. For more information, visit ivyorganics.com. You can call into 414-444-5250.
And I do want to throw it out there. If you have a topic or a guest in which you would like us to talk about or bring on the show, you can certainly contact us via twvgradio@gmail.com. And we will, if it's appropriate, we'll talk about it now. And if it's not, we'll put it on the storyboard and bring it up next year. We are not going to jinx ourselves, but we are getting more confident that we will be back as we acquire the sponsorship to pay for airtime in 2018 for 35 weeks. So we got questions that came in this week on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, email, the whole deal. One is, if I want to save this year's potatoes harvest for seed, if I'm harvesting the potatoes now, I want to save them for seed, which would be the best way to do this? And should I use the small potatoes or the large potatoes, or should I just scrap the whole thing, eat them, and buy from my seed stock next year?
Well, if you need to eat them, don't deprive yourself of the potatoes. But if you end up having a lot more and they start to get sprouty and shriveled, you can certainly reuse those. And
well, the larger potatoes is what you want to save.
Right, yeah.
And the smaller ones are going to shrivel up, and all the energy is going to be lost, and they're going to be beginning to sprout. Now, if you go online, there's a number of different ways in which you can save your seed potatoes, or save your harvest potatoes for seed potatoes for next year. We're going to be digging up some fall potatoes here this afternoon. But again, I would recommend to be safe and make sure to take as many equations out of the question here is just go ahead and buy your seed potatoes fresh next year. Because if your soil contains diseases, problems, if your plants were diseased and you just didn't know about it, and you saved those potatoes correctly by doing your research online, and then planting them again next year, you can introduce those same problems into your new potatoes or your new growth of potatoes for next year. I would recommend buying new, starting fresh seed, because these are certified seed potatoes that are disease-free that you're buying from your supplier. That's what I would do.
Okay, right. So another question we had is, have you ever grown Salsify? So what is Salsify, Joey?
Salsify, it's spelled S-A-L-S-I-F-Y. It is a root crop that's similar to a skinny carrot, and it has a oyster taste to it. It's a very mild flavor. You don't want to mix it in with a lot of things. You can roast it. We've never grown it, but it is a crop that can be used for a number of dishes. But you don't want – it's a very mild oyster taste. So if you like oysters, this might be something – it's a long-growing crop. It's kind of like a parsnip, essentially.
Definitely sounds interesting. Okay, so how do you get rid of Japanese beetles?
Japanese beetles have become a problem now here in southeast Wisconsin, more this year than I have remembered, of course, you know, for a number of years. Where I'm from, down south in southern Illinois, it was a common every-year occurrence. These will devastate your plants. They'll eat holes in your plants. They'll kill your rose plants. You know, a lot of them can do a lot of damage. One thing some people and my parents still do is they sprinkle 7 on their plants. Now, 7 is a nerve toxin agent that disrupts the nervous system of the Japanese beetles, and they die. You have a nervous system, too. So if you are sprinkling this on and you are ingesting it, obviously it's not going to do the same damage as it does a small beetle.
But it's something to consider.
Yeah, right. You got to just be aware.
So one thing you can do is a lot of people like the Japanese beetle traps, which
are
ideal. But what you don't want to do is you don't want to put them directly in your garden.
Because every beetle in the neighborhood will come into your garden.
Yeah, so you don't want to invite them into your garden because they might get distracted by your plants before they get to that trap. So put it in a corner of your yard away from your garden. Maybe on the corner of your property, so that they go to the trap but not to your garden.
Now, and if you're really friends with good neighbors and they don't have a garden and it's a really nice person, see if you can actually put it in their yard, because if they have no vegetation, you can bring everything into their yard and keep it away from yours. And I'm not being smart about that. That's realistically a very smart thing to do.
Or you can always put it in your front yard, right, if your garden's in the backyard, just so that there's a distance between that trap and where your garden is.
You can also
is.
Do soapy water in a 5-gallon bucket, but the pheromone traps has the fragrance that I think will work best.
And they say that if you plant chives, garlic, any of those oniony plants near those other plants that they are affecting, that's something that you can prevent in the future further. But right now we're focusing on the problem, which is at this time.
Right. We got time for one more question. My squash did not do well this year. Can I grow it on a trellis?
We've actually done this. You can grow it on a trellis. Once it gets to a certain size, you may have to support it a little bit. But you can certainly grow, especially things like acorn squash, the smaller squashes, patty pan. You can grow those on a trellis.
We've got a friend in the Tennessee area that he actually goes out and finds squash plants that are native growing up trees. The Native Americans grew and they continued to reproduce. But some of these squashes will naturally grow up a tree and actually hang their fruit off the limbs. That's just the way nature has designed it. So certainly, now if you're trying to grow a mammoth pumpkin, that's probably not going to be the best practice to do that. But do some research on some native squashes. It's really the smaller squashes. Some of the butternut spaghetti is kind of the hibernized to the point where it might not grow very well, and you might have to assist it up a trellis. But like acorn, like you said, and there's some other dumpling squashes or another very small squash that will work quite well. Well, we appreciate you tuning in, and this show is made possible by all the sponsors you've heard during the show, as well as...
Nacella Kombucha is the executive sponsor of the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show. Nacella is made in Wisconsin with local tea and natural herbs. Look for it in the refrigerator aisle at your local grocer. If you don't see it, ask for it, because if it's not Nacella Kombucha, it's not kombucha. Find out more at Nacella.com.
Programming note, join us next week when we're going to talk about microbes in the soil, how they benefit your plants, and the science behind that. But we're not going to get so in-depth. We're just going to cover the top of it, the iceberg, and understand the microbes and how they benefit your garden, as well as we're going to talk about zero waste, how we can be more zero waste than what we are today. Every little bit helps, as well as author, public garden speaker from Madison, Wisconsin, Megan Cain will be with us. Miss any portion of this show or want to revisit it in its entirety, you can find that under the radio tab on our website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com. Looking for a specific topic or individual interview? That's on the highlight tab on the right-hand side. You can find full-length videos and in-studio full-length videos, podcast replay in its entirety, all on the website. Until next week, for
Holly Baird,
I'm Joy Baird, and we will see you in the garden.